Well, if you're a regular attender at Lisburn Baptist Church, particularly with this time of lockdown, you'll have seen that in Sunday mornings we've worked our way through the Epistle of 1 John, and we finished that a couple of weeks ago, and we worked our way through the entire letter of 1 John. And we're going to move this morning and the Sunday mornings ahead over the summer from 1 John, the letter of 1 John, to the Gospel of John, of course, written by the same person, the disciple, the apostle, John. And we're going to be moving to John's Gospel, and we're going to spend 7 Sunday mornings looking at the 7 I Am statements of Jesus. Those vivid word pictures that John records for us in his Gospel, those 7 statements that reveal to us Jesus' identity and his mission. So we're going to work our way through these I Am statements of Jesus as they occur in John's Gospel through the summer. I'm going to start this morning looking at the first one that occurs in John chapter 6, and we're going to see I Am the Bread of Life. And Ernest is going to appear now and read for us that section in John's Gospel from John chapter 6, verses 22 to 59. Thank you, Ernest.
John chapter 6, verses 22 to 59. I am the bread of life. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labour for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. From the bread of God it is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is it not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die." I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed amongst themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum.
Of course, we know that bread is one of the most commonly and frequently consumed foods in the world. Loaves of bread are bought by 99.8% of households in the UK. That equates to 11 million loaves of bread sold every day. On average, every person in the UK consumes 60.3 loaves of bread each year. Bread is the staple diet of our lives. And bread has been the staple diet of humanity right back to the beginning. When God speaks to Adam and Eve after they've sinned in the Garden of Eden and pronounces that curse upon them in their sin. It's mentioned in Genesis 3:19 that by the sweat of his face, Adam would eat bread. And the idea of bread and the eating of bread continues to have a rich and a deep imagery in the Bible. It represents daily provision and daily sustenance. And by the time we get to John chapter 6, here we have Jesus taking that image of something day to day, something central to the lives of his hearers, and he's applying that image and that illustration of bread to himself. He's teaching us about his work, and he's teaching us about his person through calling himself the bread of life. And he says and repeats that title that he takes for himself several times in the passage that Ernest read for us. Verse 35, I am the bread of life. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. In fact, the word bread is mentioned more than 18 times in this passage. Jesus is using an everyday object, one of our staple sustenance, to teach the crowd about himself. An object that is just as relatable to us today as it was to the crowd back in the days that Jesus walked as a man on this earth. Continues to be the staple of our sustenance today. And we can still take it and see so much and understand so much in what Jesus is saying as he says, I am the bread of life. And yet, this is an introduction to the series this morning. We're only looking at the first of the I am statements of Jesus. So it's helpful, before we look specifically at I am the bread of life, that we generally introduce the I am statements of Jesus. You see, there's significance to Jesus using that term, I am. He's not just using it as a throwaway way of saying, I am the bread of life. The importance is not just in the bread of life. The importance is also when Jesus says those words, I am. In the Greek, it's two words, ego, eimi. And if you were listening to the Mark's Gospel series we did, during the year, you would have heard me talk about those words, ego eimi, I am, or it is I, where the gospel writers record for us Jesus echoing the divine name that was given to Moses when he was called by God. God spoke to Moses and said in Exodus 3 verse 14, I am whom I am. That title and those words, ego eimi, is used time and time again in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, particularly in the book of Isaiah, where when talking about God and God coming in salvation between chapters 40 and chapters 55. Listen to Isaiah 41 verse 4. I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am He. Isaiah 43 verse 25, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Such a rich imagery in the Old Testament. I am. The Greek translation of it, ego eimi. And that wouldn't have been lost on the gospel writers as they wrote that down. Each time these seven statements, these seven I am statements of Jesus are recorded here in John's Gospel, those words are there, ego eimi. And John is showing us that Jesus, as he makes these statements, is taking for himself the title of God. Now, as we will see in a moment, Jesus saying he is the bread of life is him teaching in the light of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And you'll remember we dealt with the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark's account when we worked through the gospel on Sunday evenings. And we saw how the feeding of the 5,000, the miracle, was an illustration of Jesus teaching who he was and what he had come to do. He was come to be the shepherd teacher. Like Moses, fulfilling the prophecies of Ezekiel when God promised to come as a shepherd against all the false shepherds and truly feed his people and be with them. Then, as the disciples struggle in the storm immediately after the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus walks to them in the waves, Matthew, Mark, and John all record what Jesus says to them. He says to them, do not be afraid, it is I. Ego eimi. I am. I am has come to them. So as Jesus starts each of these statements with I am, we need to understand the weight of that title. He is saying, I am God. What I am saying here in these seven statements is revealing of more of who God is. Being revealed in God the Son come to earth. Each time Jesus states, I am, he's declaring his deity. Even his opponents recognize this. For when he argues with the Jews in John chapter 8 and he's talking about Abraham and they're saying, how can you know Abraham? Jesus says in 8 verse 58, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Ego eimi. And they pick up stones to throw at him because they realize what he is saying. I am. So there's significance to when Jesus uses those words, I am something. It's pointing to his deity. And what he'll go on to say will tell us more about God and more about himself as God the Son come in the flesh. But this morning I want to just pick up on three things in particular about when Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And here they are. The first is that there's a motive betraying miracle. There's a motive betraying miracle. Secondly, there's a father who draws through faith. A father who draws through faith. And thirdly, there's the salvation won through sacrifice. The salvation won through sacrifice. So firstly, we see the motive betraying miracle. The motive betraying miracle. I'm sure you've heard the phrase before, if someone is on a different wavelength. You might have two people or several people and they're talking about the same subject or they're wanting to do the same thing. But they're on different wavelengths. They're coming at it from completely different angles and they cannot understand each other. They're on different wavelengths. They're not comprehending each other. And as John accounts for us here, the feeding of the 5,000, and then Jesus, in light of the feeding of the 5,000, teaching about how he is the bread of life, it is clear that Jesus, on one hand, and the crowd, on the other, are on different wavelengths. They're not comprehending each other, and in particular, the crowd are not comprehending him. He comprehends them, but they're on a different wavelength to him. The crowd's motive is completely different to Jesus's. They're looking for him, they're seeking him, but they're doing it for completely the wrong motive. And as Jesus feeds them miraculously in the wilderness, we see them exclaiming that he is the prophet who is to come. It says in verse 15, they're going to take him by force and they're going to make him king. So Jesus, he gets out of there and he withdraws from them. Because their idea of messiahship is completely wrong. They're seeking Jesus for the wrong motives. You see, in the mindset of the crowd, they were hungry and Jesus fed them. He fed them miraculously. And their minds had gone back to the Exodus, when God set his people free from slavery and oppression in Egypt and fed them with bread from heaven in the wilderness. Here is a Messiah who's going to fill their stomachs. And they're looking to him to be like Moses and to overthrow their oppression from Roman rule. That's why they want to take him and make him king. He's fed them in the wilderness. Can he overthrow the Romans? Jesus has to withdraw. That's not what he has come to do. Their motive is wrong because their understanding of him is wrong. And as he withdraws to the other side of the lake, they still come looking for him. And the narrative that we listened to a few moments ago tells us that they follow Jesus to Capernaum, seeking him. And right at the end of the narrative, we see that this conversation that Jesus has now, talking about the bread of life, happens in the synagogue in Capernaum. And the crowd's motive is betrayed in what John records, what they say. Look at verse 30 to 31 of chapter 6. This is what it says. It says, "So they said to him, 'Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written.'" Verse 34 says this. "They said to him, 'Sir, give us this bread always.'" Look down to verse 41. "So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.'" Verse 52, "The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?'" And then even beyond what we read today, when we go down to verse 66, it says, "After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him." You see, they come across the lake, they come to Capernaum, they're seeking Jesus, but they're seeking him for the wrong reasons. They haven't grasped the miracle. They've only understood it in material terms. And it's making them look for a temporal, earthly, materialistic Messiah. They want Jesus to feed them like God the Father fed their fathers in the wilderness. They want their stomach to always be satisfied. They want someone who will meet their material needs and sort out their political problems. And they cannot see the much deeper meaning here. Their much deeper need that the feeding of the 5,000 was teaching them. Jesus isn't confused. He knows exactly what their motive is. Look at verse 26. "Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves.'" Jesus knows why this crowd are seeking him. He'd met their hunger. He'd filled their stomach. He'd satisfied their earthly desires. They're seeking him for that, for another meal. They're not seeking him to provide and sustain their soul. And so Jesus, he identifies their wrong motive. And then he tells them what their motive should be. He's clear with them what the right motive is, why they should be seeking him, what the feeding of the 5,000 is to teach them. And he says it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures the eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. He's saying to the crowd, don't seek me to fill your stomach. Seek me to save your soul. I am offering far more than a free meal. The food that I will give you won't fade away. It will sustain you with eternal life. By faith in him, he will provide spiritual satisfaction, spiritual sustenance that will last forever. That's what he's come to do. Not give them another meal. Save them. Provide for their soul. That's what the feeding of the 5,000 was about. He has come as God's shepherd to feed his people. That's what the manna in the wilderness all those years ago in Exodus had foreshadowed, when God would send the true bread from heaven to bring provision and sustenance, not physically, but spiritually. The bread from heaven that God is giving in Christ is far greater than what their fathers received in the wilderness. In receiving this bread, there will be eternal life, whereas their father still perished. Listen to verses 48 to 51. That's what Jesus is teaching. He says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The crowd, they're seeking Jesus, but they're missing the meaning of the miracle. And they're seeking him with the wrong motive. D.A. Carson sums it up like this. He says that the crowd have seen only bread and power, not what they signify. They've seen only bread and power, not what they signify. And yet, what about us this morning? The interaction that Jesus has with the crowd is the interaction that God's word has with us this morning. What is our motive for seeking Jesus? You see, there are many who still seek him, liking the idea of Jesus. But they've missed the meaning of who he is and what he's done. They seek him with the wrong motive. They seek him to make this life better, to satisfy their stomachs. Their focus is on this life, on this world, on the satisfaction of the temporal and their material desires. And they miss the soul satisfaction that Jesus has come to give. Eternal life through believing in him. And that's what Jesus says to us this morning through God's word. Why are you seeking him? Why are you tuning into this service? Are you seeking him with the right motive? The motive of faith in who he is and what he's done to satisfy your soul. Not just to make this life better. We see a motive betraying miracle. And Jesus shows us what our motive should be. Secondly, we see a father who draws through faith. A father who draws through faith. And as Jesus begins to teach the crowd the real meaning of the bread of life, he's very clear that just like God sent manna from heaven in the desert, the bread from heaven at the time of the Exodus, he as the bread of life has been sent down from heaven by the Father. And key to understanding what Jesus is saying here when he says, I am the bread of life, is understanding the role that he gives to his Father in sending him. He refers to his Father 12 times in this narrative. Here's a few of them. Verse 27, he says that the Father has set his seal on him. Verse 32, he says his Father who gives the true bread from heaven. Verse 37, he says that all whom the Father gives to him will come to him. Verse 38, that he has come to do the will of his Father who has sent him. Verse 40, that's the will of the Father, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes should have eternal life. Verse 44, no one comes to Jesus unless the Father draws him. Verse 57, it's the living Father who sends Christ. Jesus, he time and time again talks about he has come from his Father. His Father has sent him. God the Father has sent God the Son into the world as the bread of life. The one who comes down from heaven, the Word made flesh. So he might satisfy our spiritual hunger and provide for our spiritual needs. We do not eat of the bread of life. We do not have the right motive until the Father works in our hearts, until the Father gives us, the Father draws us. Every person the Father has given to the Son will come to him. And those who come to him will never be driven away. That's what Jesus says here. They'll never be cast out. It's the Father who draws. It's the Son who keeps. Carson, again, is very helpful here. He says this. He says, I will never drive away. Therefore means I will certainly keep. In Jesus, the bread of life has come from heaven, sent by his Father, and men and women and boys and girls will be drawn to him. Those who are drawn to him will never be cast out, never be driven away. They will receive eternal life. They will receive spiritual sustenance and provision daily from the bread of life that will last forever. Raised up on the last day to enter into his glory and be in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus is teaching us here that the Father is the one who draws. And yet how does the Father draw us? And the answer again is throughout this narrative, we partake of the bread of life, the bread from heaven, when we're drawn by the Father through faith, through believing. You see, again, Jesus and John records for us here how the crowd had got it wrong. The crowd come asking in verse 28, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And of course, there's nothing that they can do, nothing that they can offer for this bread from heaven. There's no transaction that can take place. Jesus, what can we give you that you'll give us more of this bread for our stomachs? Jesus tells them in verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. This is what you need to do. Not trust in yourself, not do works yourself. You need to believe in me. Believe. Have faith. Look at verse 40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 47. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. Those who will partake of this bread of life, those who are drawn by the Father, are drawn through faith. They believe. As God opens our spiritual eyes, as we see the gospel, as the identity of Christ shines into our hearts, as we receive this bread of life from heaven, his provision, his sustenance for our souls, we receive it by faith. And in believing, that hunger and that thirst of our souls are gone. The Father, he draws us through faith. And those who come through faith will never be cast out. What wonderful truths and truth that is this morning. Maybe you're tuning in this morning and you have that hunger and that thirst of soul. And nothing in this world seems to be satisfying it for you. You're still doing what the crowd are doing. You're looking to the temporal. You're looking to the material things of this world to satisfy you. Or you're still trying to do the works of God yourself like the crowd are here. Trying to be good enough. Trying to earn your way there. Oh, Jesus, he says to us this morning, through his word, come to the bread of life. Be drawn to the Father by faith. Believe. Lay it all down and come to him. And the promise of Jesus is for you today if you're drawn to him by the Father in faith. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Come to him this morning. Lay it all down. Eat of the bread of life. And find your soul satisfied and sin forgiven. In a new life in the Holy Spirit. In him walking beside you every day and fulfilling the spiritual need of our lives. Providing all we need. It's through faith. The Father draws through faith. Well, thirdly, we see the salvation won through sacrifice. The salvation won through sacrifice. And of course, this last bit of the narrative that Ernest read for us is the most controversial one. It's what seems to quite often be focused on when we come to this passage. But quite often it's taken out of context. What does it mean to eat the bread of life? What does it mean to find eternal life? What does it mean to no longer hunger and no longer thirst? How are we drawn to the Father through faith? What is our faith in? What draws us? How does Jesus function as the bread of life? Well, he'll go on to explain it, even though those listening won't understand it. See, it's all wrapped up in what he's going to do as he goes to the cross. And he tells us this in verse 51. He says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. We need to eat of this bread to live forever. And that bread is his flesh. Bread that comes from heaven. Bread that brings us life. It's his flesh. And he expands this further in verses 53 to 56. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. To receive the bread of life, to be drawn to the Father, to experience this spiritual sustenance and provision in Christ, to gain eternal life, it comes through eating the flesh and drinking the blood of Christ. And of course, this text has been taken by many to refer to the Lord's table. Remember when Jesus constituted it and took bread and broke it and said, this is my body, and took a cup and drank it and said, this is my blood. Many see this as John's teaching on that. It's argued by our Roman Catholic friends that this passage here is the clear evidence for the doctrine of transubstantiation, that the bread and the wine that they take in their churches actually physically becomes the body and the blood of Jesus. They're eating the body, they're drinking the blood. And of course, in Roman Catholic theology, that leads to the idea of them being saved through taking the sacrament, through eating the bread and drinking the cup that becomes the body and the blood of Jesus. Is that what Jesus is saying here? I would say a resounding no. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Remember, the whole way through, Jesus and the crowd are on different wavelengths. The crowd aren't understanding his meaning. They're not understanding what he's saying. And that's what they think in verse 52. They think he's talking about his literal flesh. How can we eat his literal flesh? Is Jesus talking about some sort of cannibalism here? No, they're wrong. As have been wrong through the whole narrative. What Jesus is saying is the spiritual provision, the sustenance of salvation, the bread of life is experienced through faith in his death on the cross as a sacrifice for sin. It's not John teaching here about the Lord's Supper. He's teaching here about the death of Christ that, of course, the Lord's Supper points us to. Remember, when does the feeding of the 5,000 happen? Where Jesus is teaching this about being the bread of life immediately after. Well, we read of that in John 6, verse 4. It's the Passover. The feast of the Jews is at hand. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Jesus says he is the bread of life at the time of the Passover. As Jesus is in that synagogue, either probably on the day of the Passover or the day after the Passover, he is saying here, I'm the bread of life. And the bread of life is the eating of my flesh. I'm the lamb. I'm the sacrifice. I'm the Passover lamb. I'm the manna, all rolled into one. Turn over with me to the book of Exodus. And how Exodus, in Exodus, it's described what they were to do at the time of the Passover. Listen to Exodus 12 and verses 5 to 8. This is what it says. When they're talking about taking the Passover lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, they shall eat it. The Passover lamb, the lamb that's blood was on the doorpost, so the angel of death passed over and didn't bring judgment. They ate that lamb. They ate the flesh of that lamb at the Passover. The lamb whose blood was on the doorposts as judgment passed by. And as Jesus teaches in the synagogue at Passover, as he talks about being the bread of life, the manna that they should be looking for, as the Father draws in faith, as we see the Son, the bread from heaven, as we understand who he is and what he's done in the dying on the cross for our sin, our Passover lamb. Our Passover lamb is also our manna. Because as by faith we feed on his flesh and we drink his blood in believing his atoning death for us. And in believing his atoning death for us, that is our manna. That is our daily provision, our spiritual sustenance. It's through the faith in his death and seeing who he is in his death and believing in that death that our spiritual hunger and our spiritual thirst are filled. That is how we eat of his flesh. That is how we eat the bread of life. We gain the bread of life and our hunger is satisfied and our thirst is quenched. Because in trusting in the cross, our sin is forgiven, our condemnation is gone, and we're born again to live a life for him and to go to be with him forever. He satisfied our every need in the cross. You receive the bread of heaven when you believe the gospel of the cross. Bruce Milne sums it up really well in this passage when he says, his broken body and blood poured out on the cross need to be personally appropriated in an act of faith in Jesus, which is akin to the personal act of eating food. We need to eat up the truths of the cross. We need to devour the wonder of Calvary. We need to drink deeply of what has been won for us in the sacrifice of Christ in our place. That's what it is to be drawn to the Father. That's what it is to be to have the bread of life. It's in believing in Christ, who he is, as I am, God in human flesh, and what he has done in going to the cross to die for our sin. That's what brings eternal life. That's the bread of life that we consume. And that's what Jesus is saying here. And so the question for us as we come to a close this morning, have you eaten of his flesh? Have you drank of his blood? Not talking about communion. Just talking about, have you believed in him? Have you trusted in his death on the cross for you as your only hope? Have you stopped trusting in your works or in the things of this world to satisfy? And have you eaten and have you drunk deeply from Christ? Because only those who have received eternal life. Only those who have are drawn by the Father through faith. And if you're tuning in this morning and you haven't done that, come to the cross. Eat and drink by faith. Understand what Jesus has done for you. And through believing, have your sin forgiven. Have your life transformed. And if you'd like to hear more about that, please get in touch with us. And we'd love just to be able to share further what the gospel means for you. Go to God. Trust in Christ. And receive the bread from heaven. But what about for those of us who are Christians this morning? Well, are we still nourishing ourselves on who Christ is and what he has done on the cross for us every day? When you think about it, are you actively letting the gospel give you your spiritual sustenance every day? Are you going back into the things of this world? Remember the days of the children of Israel getting the manna from heaven? They had to go out every morning and they had to bring in their portion of the bread of heaven. Are you doing that practically in your Christian life? Every day, are you living in the power of the gospel? Are you nourishing yourself on who Christ is, as I am, and what he has done in his death on the cross? Are you nourishing yourself on the bread of life? Are you by faith every day living in the power of what Christ has done for you? Because that's how we experience spiritual satisfaction. So I trust that you know that in your life today. And if you don't, go to God. Just let the gospel pour over you again in his word. And find that it's just continuing spiritual satisfaction in who Christ is. And what he has done. He's the bread of life. And those who come to him will never hunger. And those who drink will never thirst. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, the one who tells us that he is the bread of life. And as we stumble around this world looking for sustenance in all the wrong things, we have one who comes and loves us and says, come and eat and be satisfied. Father, help us to just draw sustenance and provision from the bread of life every day. Help us to be living every day in the power of the gospel and letting wave and wave of that overflow us. I pray for those this morning who have lost sight of that maybe. Lord, that you might speak to them through your word and show them the Christ who is the bread of life. I pray for those who don't know him yet. I pray, Lord, that you would draw them by faith to your Son this morning. And bring them to you, convict them of their sin, open their eyes to see Christ who is the bread of life. And may they find sustenance and eternal life in him today. Lord, that's our prayer this morning. And Father, help us to take this wonderful message out into a world that's lost, a world that is so unsatisfied in sin. And help us to reach them. So Father, be with us. Today we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.